They are both sunny with highs in the mid-60s. Moving on to the Monterey Bay Area boaters forecast for tonight. Small craft advisory in effect through late Wednesday night. Tonight, northwest winds 15 to 25 knots with gusts up to 30 knots. Wind waves 3 to 4 feet. West swell 68 feet at 16 seconds. Wednesday, northwest winds 20 to 25 knots with gusts up to 30 knots. Wind waves 3 to 4 feet. West swell 68 feet at 15 seconds. KSCO Newstalk time 8:06. Time now for Wake the Bear Radio. I hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers. All right. The day has finally come.
Oh, boy.
I'm very excited for tonight's guest and for tonight's topic. And so, how was everything this week for you guys?
Pretty good. It's been a little crazy around these parts. A lot happened in the world. I just found out that the Massachusetts State Health Department decertified 2,700 deaths that were called COVID.
I saw that. Did
they bring them back to life?
Apparently.
Resurrections, government style, huh? Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
We got a bunch of crazy stuff going on, but tonight we're really excited to have Dave Hayes, the praying medic, on tonight. And we're going to be introducing him and getting into our conversation with him. Some of you out there know him very well, and we're just excited to have him on this show.
Absolutely. So with no more further ado, I think we're not going to talk about events or anything.
Yeah,
we want to give Dave as
right
much
in.
Time to talk.
Oh, my gosh.
Dave, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, hey, Ron, Brandon, and Chris, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Loud and clear. 5.5 there. Awesome.
5 by 5. My favorite.
Oh, this is a total treat for us. I just want you to know, I know we've been following you. I know Chris and I have been following you for at least like 7 or 8 years before the whole Q and any of that stuff. I used to just go on your Facebook page because you, if there was a healing anywhere or a supernatural thing done within by Christians, it was always posted on your site. And so I would start my day off every morning saying, oh, what's Dave's Facebook page got for today? And I would just be so encouraged. So that's how I first met you. Well, I haven't met you. You don't know me, but I feel like I know you because I've heard you.
Yeah, I met you because I'm an ex-paramedic myself with the fire department in a local municipality for 20 years. And I'm a healer too. And I'm trying a little bit of my hand at writing. So you've been mentoring me whether you know it or not.
From afar.
Cool. I love mentoring writers, whether in person or incognito.
Well, that's perfect. Did you hear that? That's an invite. Okay.
Yeah, well, Dave, we're excited to have you. My name is Pastor Brandon Johnson. I'm a pastor of a small church in the county here. And these my two friends here have been following you all the way along. I'm new to you, but I've just been blessed by what I've heard and what I've read and what I've watched. So thank you for standing up.
Some of their lies are probably true. It's a pleasure to meet you, Brandon.
Trust but verify is what I always was told.
Right. Well, with no more further ado, we want to just jump right in. You know, you have a great testimony, and I would love for our audience to hear how Praying Medic came to be.
Oh, gosh. You guys want the 5-second?
Yeah, the brief version. Kind of the brief version of your story.
Yeah, I don't want to eat up your whole first segment. So, brief story is I was an atheist until I was 30. I pretty much ran my life the way I wanted to run my life. And at the tender age of 30, I ran my ship aground. And I just ran into all kinds of relationship problems. And I ended up just destroying a lot of friendships. And So at the fire station one night, I had a run-in with Jesus, basically. I was reading a book called Left Behind, and that book scared the hell out of me, literally. literally. And I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. It was a radical overnight come to Jesus meeting. One day I was mocking Christians, making fun of them, and I hated them. And the next day I was out telling everybody about Jesus.
Wow. That's awesome.
Dramatic.
Wow. Yeah. And I began to hear the voice of God very clearly inside my soul. A voice talking to me. It was just a soothing, calming, loving, nurturing voice that I didn't know existed. It was pretty cray-cray for a while. But, you know, life goes on, and that was 22 years ago.
Wow.
Okay.
And you went from being an atheist to being a Christian, and then you went from being a Christian to really delving into the supernatural. A lot of our listeners out there are really interested in the supernatural and what it's like to be hearing God's voice and having visions and dreams. How did that happen for you?
Yeah, I attended a Bible teaching church to 2008, and I learned the Bible inside and out. I learned a lot about end times, eschatology. I learned a lot of pneumatology, systematic theology, a whole lot of concepts, you know, theological concepts. But I didn't really know them very well. I didn't know anything about miracles or healing or seeing visions or demons or angels, anything like that. 2008, I got kicked out of my church that I'd been attending for 8 years. That was after my divorce. Long story into it, but getting kicked out of that church was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it set me off on a journey where God had to go back to the regular church. I pastor an online church. I've been mentoring, teaching, praying for people, discipleship online for 12 years. But God continually told me he didn't want me inside the building on Sundays. He wanted the community doing stuff and online. So at that point, in August of 2008, I had my first dream in 25. In the dream, God told me he wanted me to pray for my patients. He was going to show me what was wrong with them, and if I prayed for them, they would be healed. And I didn't believe anything at that time. Didn't believe in miracles. I was a cessationist. I thought all that stuff stopped 2,000 years ago. So I went to do, and I dutifully begged God to heal hundreds of people for over the next 11 months, and no one was healed. I mean, I literally prayed for like 500 people, and no one was healed. And I felt like quitting. And after 2 or 3 weeks of praying for, you know, 2 or 3 dozen people in the ambulance, nobody was getting healed. And I was like, okay, God, I did my, I prayed. No, you didn't heal anybody, so I'm done. You're not doing your part. And what I didn't know was that healing and miracles is an issue of power and authority. And, you know, you just go to Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and it says that his disciples, the 12 disciples, power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. And, you know, that reality that God gives us power, gives us authority, and we need to release the power, exercise authority, totally changed everything. When I understood that and I started operating authority and power that God has given his kids, us, I started seeing people healed all the time.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, at aha moment. And, you know, I started seeing some people healed, and then I went for bigger things and bigger things. And my wife and I have seen thousands of people healed over the last, you know, 12 years. And we're having a healing revival right now on Telegram.
Wow.
My Telegram is blowing up. We're just posting. People are sending me healing testimonies every day. Emotional healing, physical healing, deliverance. And the funny thing is, a lot of these, when the the work themselves. They're, no one's praying for them. They are praying for themselves. They're going to be doing self-deliverance. Mm. They're doing healing. They're praying for themselves, and they're seeing physical healing. It's just really empowering to see people who don't have much history in a lot of cases. Some of these people, they have a history of New Age, and a lot of them are energy healers and Reiki practitioners, and they're realizing the reality of the power of Jesus.
Wow.
In their own lives. So it's really cool what God is doing right now.
Sounds like you went from begging God to heal people to releasing God's healing over people.
Yep. That's what it is. You know, when we are born again, when we're born of the Spirit of God comes to live in us. Hmm. And the Spirit of God living in us is the power for miracles. We just have to release it.
Yep.
I mean, good example. When Jesus was going to the house of Jairus because his daughter was sick, a woman with a flow of blood for 12 years crept up behind him and said, "No, if I grab the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." And the Bible says that power flowed out of him into her, and she was healed. Mm. And that's the dynamic of miracles. It is us releasing the power of God. And the other dynamic is authority. And that is simply exercising authority God gave us, commanding demons to leave, commanding ligaments, nerves, tendons, muscles, and bones to be healed. We see a lot of people knee injuries just by commanding a new meniscus to be formed, and they get a new knee.
Wow.
A new rotator cuff, new part that they need. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Dave, you've got a lot of good books on this. I bought one years ago called Divine Healing Made Simple. In fact, I think everything says made simple, and I believe you have. It seems like you get right to the point. Hearing God's voice made simple.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch, seeing in the spirit. I haven't read all of the books. I've read probably about four of your books, and I was really blessed. In fact, I'm now rereading the book because I realize that a lot of times I have a bad habit of reading something and I go, yeah, that makes sense. That's great. And I don't fully apply it. And just seeing all these Telegram testimonies since I'd say, November maybe on?
November was when it started coming in. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, there's like 10 to 12 a day that I read at least. And it's just like everything. Crazy. People praying for... their washing machine.
I have the best job.
Animals.
Yeah, I have the world because I get to wake up every day and go through my email and go, okay, what is it going to be today? Somebody got their washing machine healed or their dryer healed or brain tumor disappeared. I mean, yeah, we're seeing all kinds of crazy stuff. It's amazing.
That is a real
we have some more crazy testimonies coming.
That is an online revival. Come on.
Yeah, It is a really amazing revival. And like I said, a lot of the people that are involved in this, their history is New Age, a lot of church dropouts, a lot of people who are burned by religion, pastors' kids who couldn't take the judgmental stuff that was going on in their church. So there's a lot of people that have been very wounded or just kind of marginally seeking God, and they are like getting wrecked by the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And I just love it.
That's amazing. You know, it's interesting. We've been saying this, that things that we've been observing online is that there's an underground movement of Christians who are becoming patriots and patriots who are becoming Christians.
Yep.
And all of us are being challenged by the supernatural lifestyle. So that's kind of like, that's kind of the Wake the Bears audience. Is we exist to wake up the church within California, to wake people up and help Christians become patriots and patriots become Christians, and all of us be woken up to the supernatural and how God is moving. And I just see from what you've been doing, you're doing all of those things. And I see that even with, obviously with the Q stuff and how you got red pilled and just, I loved you to kind of move into that. Like, how did you get red pilled? How do you see the most effective way to red pill people, to wake people up,
Yep. That's a really good point, Brandon. What God did, and I didn't know what he was doing at the time, looking back in hindsight, I can see what he was doing, but he put you on my radar back in early 2018. I think in January of 2018, within a couple of months. I had a dream. Basically, God told me that he wanted me to start taking this Q thing seriously. My wife had actually been following Q from the very beginning. I thought it was nonsense. Didn't make any sense to me. I was like, why is he asking all these questions? I don't really get it. You know, I just didn't get the whole Q thing initially. And then the Lord's like, no, you need to take this seriously. I want you to start reading the posts and get on this. And I was like, okay. So in the last 5 years, I've probably had 200 Q and President Trump. God speaks to me primarily in direction for ministry. He speaks to me through dreams. So my red pilling actually came in 2016. I had a series of dreams in July and August of 2016, where in August, the Lord put his finger on Trump and started giving me dreams about Trump before he was president. And then in, I think, June or July, he had me look into the Clinton Foundation. And I didn't know anything about the Clinton Foundation. And he was, like, giving me these dreams, like, you need to dig into the Clinton Foundation and find out what's going on. So I spent a month doing a deep dive on the Clinton Foundation. And I was disgusted by what I found. Wow. Yeah. That was my red pill moment. I was sort of, like, almost physically, after I got done, you know, digging into all the human trafficking, the weapons trafficking, the wars, the color revolutions, all the other stuff that the Clinton Foundation. I was very disillusioned for a long time.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, there's all this corruption. Like, what do we do about it? And then a year later, Q came along and Q was like, there is a lot of corruption. We're going to get rid of it.
Wow. Wow.
So Q has given me. After you see the corruption, you naturally want that dealt with. You don't want, you know, corruption in every part of society. And so, and Q's message, you know, pretty much is there's a lot of corruption in every part of society. It's around the world. And it can be exposed and dealt with. And that's the message.
Yeah. You've conveyed it really well. I would always go to you for Q decodes. I was following Q since late December that 2017. But, you know, and they had people like Jerome Corsi at the time. And like you have said in the past, he wasn't really doing much, just kind of using airtime. And then all of a sudden, your insights, I was just like, this is the guy. This is the guy I need to listen to because he's got some extra insights. And I believe the Lord's speaking through him. And I was already on board with Q just because of Kim Clement's prophecy on the, you know, the letters Q and A. Focus in on those, and I thought that's got to be Q, and maybe A is the Anons. I don't know, but anyway, you have been very well respected in the Q community.
Well, the secret sauce to my understanding of Q is whenever Q is posting, I gather the posts, I put them together, I take the screen caps, and then I ask the Holy Spirit, okay, what does this mean? And the Holy Spirit does it for me, and I just sort of transcribe what he says. My Q decodes are totally led by the Lord.
It shows up, too, that, you know, it's not a conservative versus liberal thing. It really is a spiritual battle, and it's a good versus evil thing. And I think that's one of the reasons that we honor you so much and we respect you is that you could see the integration of something that is going on in the world today, and God is, he is Emmanuel with us. He is very interested in these high level corruptions. He's not turning a blind eye, and he's doing something, and it's both under the waterline and above the waterline. And I love the way that you're sharing how you allowed God to bring in the interpretation of something that looked like it was totally secular.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, I thought initially Q was going to be sort of more or less a political operation. In addition to the Clinton Foundation, in 2016, the Lord gave me a series of dreams asking me to look into Spygate, Russiagate, the investigation that Devin Nunes heading up through the House Intel Committee. So I became well-versed on FISA, what was going on at the FISA courts and the filings and the Intel Committee was doing. I was on Twitter doing a lot of threads along with, you know, Thomas Wichter and Brian Cates and a lot of other people. And so when Q came out and started exposing the corruption in the FBI, the Department of Justice, State Department, National Security Council, and the White House that had to do with FISA, I was like, okay, this is turning into primarily a political thing. Mm. But then Q would, you know, post Ephesians 6, and I would let us say, look, this is not Republican versus Democrat, not political. This is light versus dark. This is good versus evil. And it's interesting to me that God took me, who I had primarily just been teaching, you know, principles, hearing God's voice, learning to see visions, learning to, you know, release the power of God for healing. And he drove me into this, you know, storm. And he was like, okay, now get to know this, but realize this is not the whole picture. Mm. What happened was my YouTube channel went from 3,000 followers when I was, you know, doing broadcasts on faith to 315,000 followers when I was doing
broadcasts on
YouTube, right? And the funny thing was people would watch two videos, and then one of my spiritual videos would come up. They'd be like, wait a minute, does he talk about healing and stuff like that?
Is this the same guy?
Yeah. And what happened was God was red-pilling the red pillars. He was taking the truthers who didn't really know much about God, like sliding in to their, you know, their viewing, you know, occasionally my videos, because I do a Supernatural Saturday once a month. I do a on, you know, some supernatural topic. And people started, you know, after a while watching those videos, like, okay, he's doing Q, he's also doing, you know, religion. So what's going on here? And it was really a beautiful thing because God was, like you said, Brandon, God was getting into the church an understanding of geopolitics and the realities of corruption and how he wants corruption, remove it, and bring in righteousness, and see a lot of patriots. They're like, they're totally on board with that, but don't understand God's heart, and God is the one behind this. And then the church, right, Christians, a lot of them have been very to get involved in politics because they just think, well, the church, you know, we're not of the world, you know, it's not our thing, and we don't want to lose our 501c3. We're talking about politics. Sorry. So God has been doing a really interesting work integrating the geopolitical understanding of the world into the church and infusing, you know, the truther movement with his kingdom. Mm. And it is, it's a glorious thing to watch.
Yeah, I look at it like, you know, there's been a systematic plan by the enemy to silence the church around geopolitical things or even just basic moral things like 62 million children slaughtered. And we got a guy like David Dalian who exposes that they're selling body parts and nobody seems to care. And that to me sounds like a church that's not effective or relevant at all if we're not speaking out to these things. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you have a secondary paradigm shift, too, that when you have a God who gives someone dreams about Spygate, that's a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
That he is interested in the geopolitical realm just enough to break in. And I am fascinated how your platform grew so much in this past season with the political awakening that's going on. I mean, the awakening is more than a religious awakening, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And see, the Lord showed me, basically, at the beginning of this whole thing, back in 2015, I was having a conversation with the Lord because a lot of my friends had been reading prophetic words about a massive revival coming. Mm. And the Lord basically said, Dave, there are corrupt, satanic people at the top of every for society.
Wow.
In government, in education, in the financial industry, in corporate America, Hollywood, the media, the church, higher education. Every sector of society has evil, satanic people at the top of that of those mountains. Johnny Enlow and his seven mountains. So the Lord said, what makes you think revival is going to come when every sector of society is under demonic control? And I was like, okay, what are you saying? Are you saying, like, if we get rid of those people and replace them with godly people, maybe we'll see revival? And the Lord said, exactly what I'm telling you, and it's going to happen.
Amen.
So he was telling me that we have to remove the corrupt at the top of every part of society, and then spiritual revival is going to come. A global spiritual revival like we've never seen is going to come. On the other side of the political Great Awakening.
It's like one of the churches of Revelation where it says, I, you know, have this against you that you've tolerated Jezebel. But basically what you're saying is the church has to no longer tolerate Jezebel at the highest places of leadership in our nation.
Yeah, because the church has sort of felt like its place is to mind its own churchy business and observe people's, you know, sinful behavior and try to institute some kind of corrective action for their sinful behavior and get them in a behavior modification class. And, you know, what they're doing in Congress, what they're doing in the media, Hollywood, higher education, doesn't matter. That's not our problem, not our issue. And we have, as a society, as a church, we've tolerated evil in our society and a blind eye to it. The reason there's so much corruption is we've fallen asleep. We're asleep at the switch.
That's it.
And God is waking us up and letting us know. We are the ones who are supposed to be at the top of education, at the top of the media, at the top of entertainment and government. We, godly people, are supposed to be in those places of power and authority, exercising righteous rule and bringing God's kingdom principles to society. That's...
Amen. I see that very... I see that need very much, that people in leadership need to be replaced in order to have revival truly flourish. Because, you know, kids, for example, you know, they may have a one-hour Sunday school on Sunday, but they've got like 6 hours, 5 days a week with a pulpit called the school, public schools, getting, you know, demonic information. And what's going to win out over time, you know, if you're saturating yourself with the pollution. So, yeah, those things need to be taken down because they steal the seed away from people, you know, that seed that's planted. So, yeah, I totally see that.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
It's a two-part process. We need to not only remove these evil people from places of power, we need to replace with, you know, people who have a heart after God. And a lot of the school boards, I think, what you're seeing at, you know, local school board level, that's the kind of thing we need to happen. Parents are confronting the school boards over their evil curriculum. And they're letting them know, we're not tolerating this anymore. We are going to replace every one of you. And we're going to take back control of this. And we need to do that in every sector of society.
Yeah, I love it. You know, when the Bible talks about God sending the Israelites into the promised land, he says, hey, look, can I give you this promised land? It's amazing. It's beautiful. Now go fight for it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm giving it to you, but go take it. And, you know, they fought 33 battles. I think that's one of the big things about Q is it's getting people to start questioning the narrative and start asking the right questions and start seeing that they're part of the problem if they're stagnant and they're not in the battle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you're sitting on the sidelines expecting someone else to do the work, no. We all need to put our shoulder to the wheel and get going on this.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question, Dave. We've been at this for a while. Why do you think... that this whole process is so slow, that it's been, you know, it's been dripping out. We've been following. I know there's been a lot of disappointment, thinking there things would happen in a different timing than the timing is. Don't you think that it'd be better to release the information, that those that can release it would release it so that people can see?
Yeah, that's intuitively, that's what you would think. But this entire operation has been run counterintuitively.
Mm-hmm.
if God would have told me, or if Q would have told me, you're not going to see indictments for 5 years, I would have been like, you know what? Call me in 5 years. I'm going to write a few more books. I'll catch you later. What you have to understand about the deep state, and Q kind of looked at this early on in the operation, was that they're working to trap a very dangerous animal. Mm. How do you trap a very dangerous animal? Do you walk in the front door? Do you announce that you're going to arrive? Or do you use deception, disinformation, and sleight of hand? And much of Q's operation has been deception, disinformation, sleight of hand. A lot more than a lot of people think. I'll just give you an example. In the first 2 years of Q's operation, Q is continually highlighting Sessions, Jeff Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Sessions is the hammer. He's a executioner. Sessions is going to drop the hammer. He's going to take the deep state down. And when the deep state actors realized Q was like a real intelligence and Q had real information, they started to panic whenever Q would start talking about dropping the hammer and arrests coming and all that stuff. And we're all sitting there like, you know, like salivating, like, yeah, arrest. We want to see some people go to jail, you know. But if you look back now in hindsight, all the discussions about Sessions being dropping the hammer, and then in 2018 when Barr came in and he replaced Sessions, Q suggested that Barr was going to be the one to drop the hammer, that Barr was the stealth, the V2 bomber, and he was going to come in and he was going to wrap it all up, right? Well, that didn't happen. Barr walked away from the DOJ saying, no, there's really no evidence of fraud.
Wow. Right? Yep.
And to this day, he's now doing interviews saying that he still doesn't see any evidence of election fraud. All right. So I'll just give you my take on this. I think Q was drawing everyone's attention to Sessions and Rosenstein and Barr for 3 years, knowing the entire time that Durham was the one who was going to drop the hammer. Because Durham's investigation started probably February of 2017, right after Sessions and Trump got in office. And Durham has been working on this. U.S. Attorney Huber has been working on this. And we got a little bit of info about Huber. We know that Huber investigated the Clinton Foundation and then turned all that information over to Durham, who is now a special prosecutor, who can't be fired and can investigate as long as he wants. We know now because Kash Patel said, you don't need to worry about the statute of limitations because Durham is doing a racketeering prosecution. And when you are doing a racketeering investigation, anytime anyone in the cabal takes an action to the racket, the illegal activity, the entire investigation, all of the charges, and everyone that's being investigated, the statute of limitations restarts for the entire criminal syndicate every time one person takes an action to further the crimes. Mm. So anytime a payment is made, anytime any illegal activity is done by means of this cabal, the statute of limitations starts over again, which means Durham literally has no statute of limitations on any of this stuff.
Wow.
We've been following the drops. There is currently some attorneys who are still aggregating sealed cases in federal court. I think there are around 300,000 sealed cases in federal court right now.
Those are sealed, right? The sealed ones?
Sealed.
Those are sealed cases. A lot of them are indictments. Most of them are indictments. And Durham can build these out as long as he wants. And so I think, to your question, why hasn't the information come out? Why didn't they drip it out? Why didn't they give us the information? They had it. I think the reason is that they needed the deep state to be distracted while Durham was doing his investigation and not have eyes on Durham, have eyes on Barr, look at Sessions, Einstein, all these other shiny objects. And Durham was never openly mentioned in the drops until July of 2019.
Hmm.
liberation. And then only obliquely did anyone really think what Durham was doing. And it only wasn't until the end of Pew's posts in when we started to really understand what Durham was doing. And I think Durham is the one who's going to declassify all the information. You can see what he's doing. When he does these speaking indictments, Sussman, and all these other people that are involved in Spygate, he puts out a 37-page indictment that lists the crimes. It gives a lot of declassified information about the Clinton campaign, Podesta, all these other people that are involved. We're finding out more about the tech companies. And I think, well, we heard John Ratcliffe and Rick Grinnell and Kash Patel, right? So Ratcliffe was DNI. He said he declassified thousands of documents and gave them to Durham. And he says, I know for a fact that there's a lot of people that are going to be indicted if Durham works on, if he charges those people that have committed crimes based on the documents I gave him, there's going to be a lot of indictments. So that's Ratcliffe. Grinnell was acting DNI, and Kash Patel was his assistant. Kash Patel said, we declassified thousands of documents, and Durham has them. Right. So what does that tell us? That tells us that as Durham starts to indict people, we're going to get declassified information in the indictments. Mm. As Durham brings statements, he's going to have these 30, 40-page, 50-page indictments that list all of the evidence that reveals to the public, because that's the cool thing. Every time Durham indicts a new person, the court filing is made public, and the public gets access to declassified information. I think declass is going to come through Durham. Yeah. And I think I think Durham is bringing this information out at a time and a pace that the public can be made aware of it. I think the timing of Truth Social launching is critical to it, because we have to have a platform where Trump and his people can speak freely and not worried about getting their accounts shut down. And I think that Trump and his people know Durham is going to drop indictments. That's why they had to get Truth Social up and running now.
Wow.
I think that Q and Trump and Grinnell and Kash Patel and all the other people who know where the bodies are buried, I think they're going to start putting this information out on Truth Social when Durham starts dropping indictments. I think that's going to be the last thing and the big red pill.
Let's keep that thought for a second. Just want to say that we're on KSCO Radio right now with David Hayes. Dave Hayes, the praying medic, and we are excited to have him on here, both spiritually and intelligence. I think of the big word that I see with you, Dave, is discernment. You're like perfecting what it means to be a biblically discerning, spirit-filled believer who's paying attention to what's going on and is asking God for revelation, and then discerning between material. Like, the biblical form of discernment is basically the ability to tell whether something is coming from God, from Satan, or from the flesh, you know? And you're discerning these things, and it's been a really blessing to be watching what you've been doing.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. You know, the thing that people need today more than anything else is greater discernment. Mm. There is so much false information being put out there in the truther community, by the mainstream media, by politicians, by Hollywood. There is so much disinformation being put out. And if we're going to know what's happening, we have to develop greater discernment. And that's kind of I keep banging this drum. People really need to learn how to ask God, look, is this a thing? Is this real? Is this really what's going on? The Lord has shown me several things about the war in what's going on between Russia and Ukraine right now. I'm not talking about it publicly because there is so much disinformation being put out right now.
Yep.
It's very difficult to know what is true and what isn't true. And I think everyone in the mainstream media, politicians, patriots like Trump and Kash Patel, all of them are putting out statements that serve a necessary purpose of optics. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone is telling the truth about what's going on in Ukraine. I think that Everyone who's talking about it has a private position and a public position. And I don't think their private and public positions are the same. When you listen to Trump talk about Ukraine, I think he's using talking points that are necessary for optics. I think Cash Patel doing the same thing, Rick Brunell doing the same thing. People who are in the know are not allowed to say what they really know is happening. So there's a lot of confusion, and that's why I'm not really weighing in on that whole issue right now, because if you step into this thing and step into this fray, you're going to say something, and then immediately Trump and Cash Patel and Rick Brunell are going to say the opposite, and people are going to be like, well, they're saying the opposite of what you're saying. Mm. And there's too many people who don't understand the optics of these political discussions. So that's one reason why I'm not weighing in. Like, I think I have some kind of an idea of what's going on, but I don't say publicly. Mm-hmm. Because I will be attacked no matter what I say.
Well, and there's more than two color hats, aren't there? I think that the situation is so complicated. It's not black hat and white hat, is it?
Yeah, it's not black hat, white hat. And, you know, I don't really like the black hat, white hat dichotomy, because that dichotomy assumes that people have a singular motive, either someone's wearing a black hat, they're a bad person, they're good motivated point. By evil. If someone's wearing a white hat, they're always motivated by good. And I think there are a lot of people who have mixed motive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I'm motivated by love for God. Sometimes I'm motivated by fear. Sometimes I'm motivated by self-preservation. You know, like, my motives aren't always the same. I have a lot of different motives, and so does everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump does some things, I think, sometimes out of the wrong motive. I know he loves our country. I know he's a patriot. He's a great leader. But sometimes he does things out of the wrong motive, I think. And so does everybody. So I don't like black hat, white hat thing. I think it's very difficult. Like, Bill Barr is a really good example. I think Barr was hired to end the Mueller investigation, and he did that. But I think that he probably had some other motives that were driving his decision-making that probably weren't the right motives. So I wouldn't call him a white hat, wouldn't call him a black hat. I would just say, no, he had an opportunity to do some things. Some of them he did, some of them he didn't. And that's how I see it.
Yeah, you know, that's a good insight. I'm glad you shared that, Dave, because one of the things I had liked and admire about you is that you didn't jump on, you know, it's easy to find an enemy and start making fun of their name and start, you know, whatever, and just trashing. And I have fallen into that, you know. A lot of people have vices, you know. Nancy might tilt the bottle a little bit much. And so, you know, I'll find delight if she looks like she's drunk and someone does a meme. And that is not Christ-like, and I don't see that ever coming out of you. You will present, like, the facts, whether it's good or bad, and you almost won't editorialize sometimes when you're sharing the day's news. And I've heard you sometimes say, hey, you need to pray for this person. You know, I had a dream about them, and they may be turning the other way. And you always throw that life raft out to people, where a lot of times we just kind of shake our hands, dust our feet off, you know, and say, hey, we're done with them. And so I appreciate that in you.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, in all honesty, I'm not always like that. I mean, when I'm posting on my timeline, like I remember, you know, back in the good old days of Facebook, I try to set a good example in godly character and compassion, even for people who are obviously not very patriotic and are probably motivated by some demons, just to say that. I try to set a good example. I try to, you know, hey, we need to pray for this person. Or if it's just a news story, I just put the news story out there, because editorializing a news story, telling people what to think, is not actually all that helpful. When I put out news stories on social media, what my hope is that people will learn how to think for themselves, that they'll God and say, hey, Lord, is this true? Is this, should I share this? You know, what's really going on here? I resist the urge to analyze on simple news stories, because I really want people to learn how to think for themselves. That's kind of Q's, you know, one of his bottom line things is research for yourself, think for yourself. Don't let someone control you. Don't let other people tell you what to think. Mm. So there's that aspect of it. But when I'm hanging out with my Anon friends, I'll post some memes of the cabal. I mean, I'll jump in there with everybody else and drop some Nancy Pelosi and some George Soros memes. I'm not above that.
You know what's interesting? You know, interesting about what you're saying, and that the paradigm of the black hat, white hat's not good, because I mean that's what everybody wants to think. When we try to say that there's people that are doing things that are that have a conspiracy, they're breathing together to do evil. They're not always doing it all with the same understanding of what they're doing. Some people are doing it because right. they're trying to make money. Some people are doing it because they're connected to the sex trade. Some people have been bought out. Some people. So it's like. The only one that's at the top of all this is Satan, but people are being manipulated by their flesh and their different motivations.
Yeah. One of the things we're going to see come out of this, and I'm putting this out there for people like yourselves, who are number one on the West Coast, and number two, you have a heart to see God change people's lives. A friend of mine and I have been having some dreams recently. Suggesting that when the arrests happen and when this whole thing falls apart and the cabal gets taken down, there's going to be a lot of celebrities who are going to look for people like us who will accept them as average, normal people and into our fold. Because a lot of them are going to be sincerely repenting of their foolishness. Some of them have gotten involved, like you said, because they've been leveraged and forced into this, whether their families have been threatened or whatever. There are some people who are involved in this unwillingly. And I think we're going to see, there's going to be a time coming when the mercy of God is going to have to be displayed by people like us. Mm. We're going to have to look at these people and say, look, if you want to know more about God, if you want to know that he loves you and you want to be part of our, we'll accept you. Mm-hmm. A certain part of the corrupt cabal is never going to ask for forgiveness, and they're going to go to jail screaming and saying that they were innocent. But a lot of these people are going to have these brokenhearted, and they're going to need a soft shoulder to cry on, and we have a great opportunity to do that if we're willing.
You know, it's interesting about how you say that. Dave, is that I watched the little clip of Jesse Smollett walking out of the court case saying, I just want to say I'm not suicidal. And right. I could have said I wasn't innocent, but I've been saying I'm innocent. It's like he was communicating something to someone. You know,
Jesse was leveraged into this.
Yeah, he was leveraged. So people like Jesse.
He's got powerful politicians who needed him to do something so that that's their agenda. This wasn't his idea. It was someone else's idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was played out.
And that's an example. You know, fortunately, he was in a position where he could be leveraged. And a lot of people are in that position.
Yep.
Hey, Dave, I actually, since we have about five more minutes, I wanted to switch gears back to just your prayers and healing and the supernatural. I know that there are a lot of people in the audience that have dealt with, physical issues and their health issues. And, what I've seen and what we have all seen on the Telegram has been amazing, just the things that are happening. And so if you want to just spend the rest of the 5 minutes talking and then close out in a prayer, I think we'd all really appreciate that.
Praying for the body of Christ and praying for people that are, skeptical and pray, whatever. Just pray as the Lord leads you, man.
Yeah.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Mm. All right. I'm going to pray now. Let's see. What time is it? Yeah, we got about 5 minutes. I'm going to pray for people to be emotionally healed, physically healed, and delivered of addictions and a lot of other sicknesses. I'm just going to pray as the Holy Spirit leads me. Okay?
You bet.
Go for it.
Lord, bring your presence upon the listeners. Lord, bring your glory upon the listeners. Lord, show them your love. Give them a tangible feeling of your presence and your love and your goodness. Let them feel your goodness now. Let your warmth pass over their body. Holy Spirit tingles all over their body. Lord, bring your presence, bring your glory and your goodness, and let the listeners feel your presence. Lord, I ask you to bring your presence for deliverance, to break yokes of bondage, of addiction, and pornography, smoking and drinking. I command spirits of addiction to leave right now, spirits of pornography, alcoholism, tobacco, narcotics, opiates, drug addiction, pills, pain relievers. I command evil spirits of addiction to leave right now. Lord, bring to mind emotional trauma in the listeners. Help them identify traumatic events from their past. And if you are having a memory come up right now, as you're listening to this, if you're having a memory come up of a past event and you feel shame, anger, guilt, worthlessness, hopelessness, despair, anything negative, any negative emotion, I want you to repeat this. I just want you to say, Jesus, I ask you to take this emotion from me. I ask you to heal the wound in my soul. I receive your healing. Some of you are going to feel a just lift off of you. That is a demon leaving you. Lord, thank you for emotional healing and deliverance. I release the healing power of heaven, and I command ligaments, nerves, tendons, muscles, and bones to be healed, and cartilage to be healed. I command bones to be made brand new. If you need a new meniscus in your knee, I command a brand new meniscus in your knee. If you have GI symptoms, I command your GI tract to be healed, intestines healed, duodenum, colon healed, esophagus, tinnitus healed. Command the entire esophagus to be healed. If you have esophageal varices, the Lord is healing you right now. I command the spirit of migraines to leave. Spirits of self-hatred and self-condemnation, I command you to go. Lord, bring the immune system. I command autoimmune diseases to leave right now. Evil spirits, get out right now. I command the spine to be healed, spinal cord to be healed, discs, ligaments, nerves, tendons, and bones healed. Command the hip joints to be healed. Plantar fasciitis, I command you to go. Release the healing power of heaven. I command feet to be healed, ankle bones healed. If you have a problem with obesity, the Lord is going to work with you and helping you reduce your weight. And a lot of that is demonic strongholds and eating because of comfort. I also command the endocrine system and the thyroid to function normally so you have normal metabolism. Yes. Command the thyroid to be healed right now. Mm. I command the immune system and the endocrine system to be healed. Lord, bring your healing presence upon these listeners and bring healing to them. How we doing, guys and gals?
Yeah, we're good.
We just keep going, and the music will start pretty soon as our closer.
Well, that's
all right.
That's so good. Let's go
some more. Just keep going.
Yeah.
More healing.
Brain
tumors. I command brain tumors to be gone and cast into the sea. I speak death to cancer cells.
Come on.
Pancreas, I command you to die. Cancer cells, I command you to die.
Mm-hmm.
Pancreas be healed. Brain tumors, I command you to go right now. Every form of cancer gone.